ash and pumice rock like Mount Vesuvius. The one that scorched up all the folks there, still frozen in the very poses when the smoke cleared. Raining fire, barbecue meat till it's whiskey off the grill, balled up in the fido. They like them pickle and smoke. They're battered, deep fried up if it's a joke. It's on y'all to serve man the cookbook. Whoever don't find it too funny, then look, look. With clear eyes, the skies and seasons are clouded. I wonder how come the graveyards ain't overcrowded. Know about it. Missing children's delicacies. Tender with the skin, bone in many recipes. Fresh from out the oven, bruh. And what cut would you prefer, governor?
Their preference is children. You know, and we've been told, you shouldn't talk about that. You know, there other people say, well, you better not talk about it. Well, you know, why not? They're responsible for 31,712 children disappearing in the last 25 years.
Vocals spill over like the chilling words of Jehovah or the cup that runneth. Let's keep it 100. It's just in time for the world harvest. No matter if you're stinking filthy rich or impoverished. On or offline, they out to get that new white meat, the fourth kind. The plot thickens like a pot of hot chickens. Few choose to mix it with a lot of rotten pig skins. And get caught up in the rapture, led to the slaughter like cattle's off the pasture. Give them back their pieces. These bloodthirsty guards eat you like mac and cheese whiz. Devoured alive, adrenaline is hot sauce. Only thing could save you is melanin if you're not lost. Similar slaughter to Sodom and Gomorrah. Flee from out the horror and you might can see tomorrow. Wartime they snack often, baby back orphans. Or was sent back for two tours as empty coffins. And here's your portion, fresh from out the oven, sir. Prepared, medium rare. Cheers, governor.
Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9. Coming up very soon is the White Noise Comedy Show. That's a half hour sketch comedy. But before we start, I just want to let you guys know about a little bit of information. So coming up right after White Noise is the White Noise After Show, which is featuring myself, Simon Welton, and the great Stuart Jones, which is a local comic. He's going to come in, he's going to talk some questions. So if you have any questions yourself for me or for Stuart, you're going to email in at whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. Okay, so one other thing we need to talk about before we start is we are, of course, in Fund Drive Week. And what that means is we're raising money for the radio station. It's really, really important because we only do this once a year, and this is all to go towards our attempts to digitalize our station and also just improve the programming that we do every week here. We are a completely non-profit organization, so this is one of the only ways that we can get revenue to be able to do these sort of projects. So it's really important that we get you guys to join in on this. I personally am offering that anybody who pledges $60 or more to this show is going to get their own name. We're going to name one of our characters in an upcoming sketch after you. That's what we're going to offer. So $60 or more, your full name is going to be put into a sketch and will be forever in the comedy library. So if you're interested in that, it's $60 or more for a donation. And you can donate at the website, citr.ca. Or you can phone in at 604-822-8648. But anyway, that's enough of that for now. We're going to talk more about the fund drive later. We're going to have Stuart Jones in the studio. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 out of Vancouver. But right now, coming up is White Noise. Enjoy.
Strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another half hour of White Noise, the show where I, Richard Blackmore, bring you the best and the worst of radio from around the world. broadcasted to you from my adopted home of UBC Vancouver. Today's show is brought to you in part by Betty's Crematoriums. We live for dead people. Our first segment tonight is the famous interview of jazz legend Tilda Bagless by journalistic powerhouse Billy Blinds.
Hello, cool cats. I'm Billy Blind, and this is Jazz Legend. Tonight, I'm joined by the phenomenal Tilda Bagless. Good evening, Tilda.
Good evening, Billy. You're looking lovely tonight.
Perhaps only our older listeners will be aware of her stellar career. Tilda was in her heyday during the 40s. Starting out in Manchester, England, she made it all the way to America, the birthplace of jazz. What was the scene like back then, Tilda?
Thriving it was. I played sold-out gigs up and down England and Wales. I never played Scotland. I could never understand the booking agents on the phone. Didn't have a bloody clue what I was booking.
And you won many awards, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Best song, best album, best tits. Not that they're making a comeback anytime soon. If I lie down too quick, I'm likely to concuss myself.
What do you attribute to your success?
Well, there certainly weren't as many of us back in those days.
Really? In what sense?
Well, it was basically just me and the minorities.
I don't know if that's particularly PC, Tilda.
What are you on about? I'm talking about David and Paul Minority. Best backing band out of Castleford, they were. Paul had rhythm, let me tell you, the amount of times...
Probably not an appropriate anecdote, Tilda.
Let me finish. The amount of times he shagged me properly.
Tilda!
Oh, hang on. Who's the jazz legend here?
You.
So listen, soft lad. Jazz was the 40s version of modern club music. It was music to get nasty to. Why do you think it was so popular? Sounds bloody awful to me. But who cares what music is playing when a strapping lad is grinding on you?
I see your point. I guess.
Just because something is old doesn't make it important or clever. Remember that, sunshine?
I quite agree. That has become more than apparent during this interview. Alas, that's all the time we have for today. Join us tomorrow for more Tilda Bagless.
Thank you, Tilda and Billy. Unfortunately, I cannot bring you part two of that interview ever. Tilda died tragically later that night when she was mysteriously killed during an underground bingo game. That interview was brought to you in part by Nigel's Organic Chicken. We treat them better than our children. And now we are venturing into new waters of lighter entertainment. The following segment is from the popular Australian radio game show, Tear Factor. Enjoy.
G'day, and welcome back to Tear Factor, the show where couples make each other cry for big cash prizes. I'm your host, David Smiley, and tonight's contestants are Gaynor and Kyle from Perth, and Shauna and Travis from Adelaide. Welcome to all four of you. Great to have you with us. So, Kyle, a little birdie tells me you recently got some great news.
Did I?
Yes, that's what my cue card says.
Oh, right, yeah. I didn't realise I told the research about that.
No problem. Let's hear about it.
Well, there was this guy that used to bully me in school, and I recently found out he had incurable cancer.
That wasn't it, Kyle.
What?
That wasn't what we told you to talk about.
Oh, right, yes, yeah, silly me. Yeah, I remember now. What you told me to say was I just got a new promotion at work.
Great, and what's your new position?
Well, you know the guy that on movie sets who holds the boom microphone?
Yes.
I hold his bag.
Okay, moving on. Gaynor, what do you do for a living?
I'm a prostitute.
Oh, really? I'm guessing you're not very expensive.
Wait. I'm in prosecutor, not a prostitute. Oh, my goodness. Silly me. I'm always doing that, getting my words mixed up in court.
My last assumption still stands. Anyway, over to our other pair, and we have ourselves a bomb. That's right. Travis, I hear you're a limey git.
What?
Apparently, you're originally from Bath, England.
No.
Oh?
No, I was born in a bath, but that was in Melbourne.
Fabulous. And finally, Shauna, what do you do for fun?
Well, I'm a typical Aussie girl, so of course I like to have a drink.
A girl after my own heart, Shauna. And what's your favourite stiff one?
Well, you go through phases, don't you? But right now, I'd say it's probably a goat's blood sunrise.
Oh, I've not had that cocktail. What's in it?
It's 2 shots of vodka, 1 shot of tequila, and 1/2 pint of goat's blood.
Brilliant. I will have to try it right after I strangle my researcher. Join us after these messages for round one of Tear Factor. Tear Factor is brought to you in part by Kenny's Koalas, chlamydia free since 1993. And also, the Army. Join us. It's like Call of Duty, but this time, you get to shoot the 12-year-olds. Welcome back to Tear Factor, the show where your partner's tears can be worth more than their organs. Travis, Shauna, Kyle, Gaina are in position wearing the Tear Factor patented face gear.
Aren't these just swimming goggles?
Shut up, Kyle. The rules are simple. You have 1 minute to make either of you cry more than the other team. Travis and Shauna will go first because I am far more attracted to that couple. So, are you ready, guys?
As we will ever be.
Okay, on your marks, go!
Okay, Shauna, remember I love you, but this is for the new TV, the new car, and your heart surgery, okay?
Okay.
My God, you look like your mother. Everyone said you would do eventually, but cry, Shauna. It's like you melted. Nice one! I mean, seriously, what are we going to talk about something besides PTA meetings? And what happened outside school when you picked up the kids? Who cares? And another thing, tell your idiot brother that he can't live in my caravan any longer. I don't care that your dad was a bastard. He's dead, Shauna.
A valid effort from you two there. Well done. That might be hard to beat. You can stop crying now, Shauna.
Oh, no.
Gina and Carl, are you ready?
You bet we are.
Okay, on your marks, go!
Okay, Gina, I find your constant wearing of dungarees annoying. I wish you would chew more quietly. Your sister is perhaps slightly more attractive than you. Your bum could be smaller.
Come on, Kyle, it's not working. Try harder. It's for the money. For that new sewing machine you really want.
All right, shut up. My friends are watching. Okay. I got one. I shagged Elizabeth.
No.
Yeah, that's right. Your cousin. Yeah. And it was amazing. She knew stuff I'd only seen written on bathroom walls.
Well, I shagged your brother Mike.
What?
That's right. I've been seeing him for a year.
Gaina? I was making it up to win the game. But you? I knew you were banging Mike, you bitch. Can't believe it.
I'm sorry. You just got so fat and boring.
And that's time. Well, that was a close game. But Carl just tipped the scales there with that flood of despair at the last second, giving him and Gaina the win. Congratulations, guys. Commiserations to Shauna and Travis, but don't worry, no one leaves here empty-handed. You both get a week's free marriage counselling, courtesy of Tear Factor. This is all we have time for this week. Join us again for more Tear Factor. Good night.
Fabulous content from down under there. And that was brought to you in part by Stevenson's Elective Gastric Bypass Surgery. There for you when you give up. Our next piece tonight comes from eccentric traveller, memoirist and heir to his father's worming tablet empire, Henry Shufflebottom. This is an excerpt from his award-winning collection, Letters from Canada. Every piece in the book comes directly from a letter Henry wrote, and the audiobook is read by Henry himself. Enjoy.
March the 4th, 1985. Dear Mummy, I have been in charming British Columbia for a fortnight. It is a lovely province full of vegans, hipsters, rednecks, punks, pensioners, hillbillies, yuppies, and even the occasional normal person. I have had many wonderful adventures here. Last week was great fun. I travelled to a place called Victoria. It's a lot like home, except the chips are rubbish and the women are much more attractive. It's probably partly because they have this newfangled thing called dental hygienists. They are remarkable. What they do is they torture you for an hour so that you then remember to brush your teeth. After tiring of Victoria, the lovely dental hygienist I convinced to go for a drink with me, I ventured to Vancouver. 2 days later, I realized I was in Seattle. An easy mistake to make, and ventured back north. Or at least, I thought I had, but apparently my map was upside down, and 3 days later, I left Portland. The real Vancouver did not let me down, though. It had wonderful food, music, and art. Unfortunately, all those lovely things are closed after 10 p.m., and if I took a beer outside, I would have been shot. Yesterday, I visited the Kootenays. It seems like a great place to have a wedding or to kill someone. I want to bring Dad here next time. Speaking of family, how is Auntie Gladys? She hasn't died, has she? It's just, she's stopped sending me checks. I hope I didn't upset her with that joke I told at Christmas. I mean, it's not my fault she sounds like that. Someone needed to point it out. And the language she used. It was worse than that homeless man father moved out of the way with the Volvo. Last week, in the charming village of Kamloops, I managed to join what I thought was going to be a hunting expedition. It turned out we weren't hunting the sort of cougars I thought it would be. Still, had a great time. Lovely bunch of guys. Tomorrow, they are taking me with them to feed the poor at the homeless shelter. And after that, apparently, we're going to the strippers. Anyway, in response to the question you asked in your last letter, no, I'm not coming home anytime soon. Dad should know better than to use his own son to advertise worming tablets for dogs. I get woofed at all the time there. It's not normal. Lots of love, your Ickle Henry. P.S. Could you send me some money, please, if that aunt of mine is going to have no sense of humour?
Thank you, Henry, for that poignant memoir. Perhaps more from Henry next week. That piece was brought to you in part by Nightclubs, the End of Civilization. Next up is an absolute scorcher of a debate on the red-hot issue of drugs. And not just the fun ones. This debate is between Stanford graduate of pharmacy Professor Philippa Morris and a street dealer, Mr. Hines. The debate is adjudicated by Wendy Margaret.
Good evening, and welcome to Master Debaters. Please don't say it too fast. Tonight, we have a showdown to rival Ali versus Frazier, Chomsky versus Foucault, or Bill O'Reilly versus Logic. In the red corner, we have Stanford graduate and head of International Pharmacy Association, Philippa Morris. She'll be advocating for the usage of FDA-approved drugs only. In the blue corner, we have self-proclaimed street dealer and wise guy Mr. Hines, of no fixed address, Vancouver. Good evening to you both.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yo, thanks for having me, Wendy. By the way, I have your eighth. It's in my coat.
Not now. Later.
Oh, are we on?
Shh. So, Philippa, would you like to go first? Start us off? Why should people be coming to you for their drugs?
Well, it's quite simple, really. If you want empirically based solutions given to you by fully qualified professionals, then you need to come see us. Street dealers who peddle narcotics are the bane of society. If you got rid of them, there would be no crime, no violence, and no hip-hop.
Wow, that is quite the opening statement, Philippa. I think you've already got him on the ropes. But give it a go. Over to you, Mr. Hines.
Well, first off, your hours are crap. Then second, when you are open, I hand the exact information to someone with a degree who then requires 45 minutes to find 12 pills. For this pleasure, I also have to pay an extortionate amount of money, even in Canada, where we are meant to have universal health care. Now, let's look at my process. You text me any time of day or night, and I will be at your door in 20 minutes, guaranteed. And if that don't work for you, I can meet you in a mall, an alley, a Bikram yoga studio, I don't care. Customer service is my number one priority.
How can one man possibly offer a 24-hour service?
Well, my kids, Tim and Tom the twins, they handle the early morning stuff. They're up early anyway, and they love any excuse to ride their bikes. And at 8 years old, they don't need paying.
So what if you're quicker? What you sell is poison that only brings people down.
Nah, that's just weed and heroin. I can get you some crazy uppers if that's more your style. And anyway, who are you to talk about selling downers? You guys prescribe antidepressants like they actually work.
You cannot pretend that what you do is the same as us. We set out to help people the best we can with the resources we have. You are just trying to make money off of people's misery.
B.S. You don't have any more moral compass than I do. If you did, you would give the drugs away for free, or at least the price we could all afford.
They aren't that expensive.
Name another cheap product people insure themselves against using.
Well, a lot of hard work goes into researching these drugs, and that effort should be rewarded.
Jonas Salk discovered the polio vaccine, and he gave that shit away like candy.
So what? Just because of one Boy Scout, the entire industry has to become a hippie free-for-all?
I'm not saying that you all don't deserve a living, but I resent getting the bus to go see a pharmacist with a Bentley parked outside.
I thought drug dealers made good money.
I just told you, I got two kids. Look, all I'm saying is things can change. The greed could be undone, just as the other evils have been. Look at slavery, apartheid, sexism, colonialism. All of them have been washed away once the majority saw sense.
Colonialism still exists, Mr. Hines, I believe.
Really? I thought that ended in, like, the 50s.
No, it's just been rebranded as spreading democracy. But we digress. Philippa, you look like you wanted to make a point.
Yes. You keep suggesting that pharmaceuticals is all about money, but that is simply hyperbole. Of course, it is profitable to sell cures to people's illnesses, because it's simple supply and demand. Only 10% of the world has access to Western medicine, and it is a privilege. People are not, by birth, entitled to it, and it's simply not feasible to serve everyone.
So you're saying, fuck those people.
Exactly.
Thank you, Philippa and Mr. Hines. Join us again for more Master Debaters.
Thank you, Philippa, Wendy, and Mr. Hines for that pulsating discussion. And thank you, Mr. Hines, for that bit of White Widow. That content was brought to you in part by Multinational Oil, lighting your homes and burning your future. Next up tonight is a new segment of content called Public Poetry, where I will read a poem sent in by one of our listeners. Tonight's poem is sent in by Tilly Mailer of Windsor, Ontario, and is entitled Midterm Crisis. My mind is weak. My future looks bleak. I failed stats. Too much time looking at cats. Parental pressure crushing me down. I only ever wanted to be a clown. Business school, they said, would bring home the bread. But fine arts, I protested. Ah, money, they contested. So here I am, at the break of dawn, procrastinating with poetry and looking at porn. Thank you, Tilly, for that lovely bit of verse. It reminds me of my own youth. Last up tonight is a sports piece that has captured the imagination of fans around the world. It is, of course, the one and only cage-fighting sensation, Ultimate Leaders.
Welcome to Ultimate Leaders, The only competition where the greatest former heads of state step into the cage to see who will truly reign supreme. I am Juan Choker, this Spanish from an undisclosed location. That's right, the Gorilla Choker, kickboxing legend, and my co-commentator tonight is none other than the former British Prime Minister and three-time Ultimate Leader Champion, Tony Blair!
Thank you for having me, Hans. I'm really looking forward to it. I think we're going to see some blood.
You are no stranger to that, I know.
Oh, yes, but I've called it quits now. Too many concussions, and of course, losing my right ear made me think very hard about it.
First off, a reminder of the rules for new listeners. It's a bare-knuckle fight. Fights are won by either KO, submissions, or saying peanuts. Tonight is a tournament format with no weight classes. Our first bout is between Sir Winston, British Bulldog Churchill, and Attila the Hun. Your thoughts, Tony?
Well, of course, I'm rooting for the Brit. Attila has the size advantage, but I think Churchill's years of boxing will give him the speed edge.
Well, let's see what happens. And they begin. Churchill runs straight at Attila. He's not intimidated at all. And it's over in a flash. Attila has decapitated Churchill. And the crowd goes wild.
Wow, deja vu. That was just like watching every England World Cup performance.
Never mind, Tony. Still plenty more action to come, and the Iron Lady herself, Thatcher, is on later in the card.
Oh, I can't wait. Mean Maggie is definitely the dark horse of the tournament for me.
Next up is Adolf the Waterboy Hitler versus Punisher Pot. This bout has been dubbed Battle of the Bastards. Who have you got in this one, Tony?
Well, to be honest, I am hoping for a Pol Pot win. I mean, because, as a Brit, I'll cheer for anyone except Germany.
Fair enough. Las Vegas bookmakers have Hitler as the favorite, citing his amazing cardio and a really clean diet as big factors in the coming bout.
Yes, Hitler is a vegetarian, but there is a lot to be said for Pol Pot's unique decision to only eat the flesh of his enemies.
Well, let's see what happens. Pot moves quickly and goes for the takedown. Hitler is trying to return to his feet, but is distracted by Pot attempting to chew his ear off. Hitler finally shakes him off, returns to the fight, and wow, roundhouse to the face! Pot hits the canvas. Hitler begins to celebrate, but it's not over. Pot leaps to his feet and no! Oh my goodness! It's all gone Mortal Kombat! Pot pulls Hitler's heart out through his chest! It's still beating! Pot wins!
Wow, Hans, Pot's a bloody beast.
I know. I can never remember the combination for that move. Well played. Next up is Napoleon the Nasty Bonaparte versus Ronald the Real Deal Reagan. This is going to be a big one. This is Reagan's first fight back since his failed drug test last year, where he tested positive for human growth hormones, anabolic steroids, and Ripnol. Napoleon needs a win. He's riding a 10-fight losing streak. Is tonight going to be his night, Tony?
No, definitely not. I've rolled on the mats with Napoleon, and trust me, the only black belt he will ever get will come from a department store.
Our fighters are ready. Reagan doesn't hear the bell. His hearing aid is off. Napoleon takes the center of the ring. Reagan notices him and charges him down. What? They are slapping each other like a little girls. What is going on?
It seems the drug withdrawal is affecting Reagan more than we expected. And Napoleon always fights like this.
The ref has called off the fight. Both men have been disqualified for bringing the sport into disrepute.
Quite right, too. Of course, neither of them would have even qualified if it was not for the injuries to Sugar Abe Lincoln and the notorious Nelson Mandela.
Next up is Franklin Dangerous Roosevelt versus Macho Mussolini. Your thoughts, Tony?
Well, I'm not sure how FDR hopes to win. He is, as you know, in a wheelchair.
Yes, I am a strong proponent of equality, but are we not just enabling an old man's euthanasia here?
More likely than not, yes. But let's not write him off yet. I haven't seen any tape on him. But I know Mussolini is all flash. His diet is mainly cigarettes, steak, and edible underwear.
Hopefully, and not his own.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Mussolini storms forward. FDR cowards. FDR stands. FDR with the clothesline.
FDR was faking the whole time. I knew it.
Mussolini has stunned. FDR lifts his wheelchair and... he has knocked out Mussolini with a wheelchair to the skull. FDR is through to the semis in sensational fashion.
Oh, brilliant. A backflip for the adoring fans. FDR is such a showman.
And now we come to our final preliminary fight of the night. It's an all-woman's fight. We have Margaret, the Iron Lady Thatcher, versus Killer Cleopatra.
This should be exceptional. Thatcher has looked a different animal since Don King took her under his wing and she started training in America. There, she has the best coaches in Alexander the Great and Gandhi.
Oh, yes. Gandhi really understands the mental game.
Though, I must say, Cleopatra is looking absolutely terrifying. There is actually steam coming out of her nostrils. And she's dribbling a bit.
Cleopatra bears down on Thatcher. Maggie is unfazed and judo flips Cleopatra onto her back. Cleo pulls guard. Maggie makes her eat an elbow from the top and another. Blood pours down Cleo's face.
Ooh, she's opened up Cleo's forehead badly.
Cleo headbutts Maggie, allowing her enough room to scramble to her feet. She is looking pretty worse for wear.
Well, when you've been in as many fights as her, you get a lot of scar tissue on the forehead.
It's a side effect of her brawler style.
Absolutely.
Thatcher and Cleo are circling each other. They are clearly very evenly matched. Cleo lunges for the takedown. Oh, and she hits a huge flying knee. The Iron Lady wins by a knockout.
Get in, you beauty.
Ha ha, I see you're pleased.
Too right. I bet old Georgie Bush, if Thatcher won, he would take the blame for a rock.
So there you have it. The semi-finals are Attila the Hun versus Franklin Dangerous Roosevelt and Maggie the Iron Lady Thatcher versus Punisher Pot. Join us next week for the semi-finals and the grand finale of Ultimate Leader!
Thank you, Hans and Tony. I cannot wait for next week's installment, which will be right here on White Noise. That was our final piece, and it was brought to you in part by the Genetics Engineering Society, because who wants stupid children? Thank you for listening today, and join us next week for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of John Greenway, Mariana Mate, Conan Ashelput, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
Hey, it's Matt and Ryan from The Matt and Ryan Show.
Featuring Ryan and Matt.
And we somehow have a call. CITR, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Greg, long-time listener, and I'm ready to donate.
We're just starting an ad right now, so now is not the right time.
Finish your ad, sorry, I'm an idiot.
Anyway, so this year for the Fun Drive 2015, we're trying to save up funds for a brand new website. We have hours and hours of podcasts. We're trying to put them in one spot, so it makes sense. Also, our magazine Discorder will be linked on our new website. Somehow we're getting a call. CITR, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Greg again. You guys are trying to construct a website? Well, guess who's got some construction material? Greg does, because I've got a kiddie pool I cannot figure out, so you're welcome to as much...
No, it's not the kind of
more like a coding
building we're doing.
No, it's the internet. What am I... Ah, I'm an idiot!
Online.
Yeah. Anyways, if you want to donate, go to CITR.ca and there'll be ways to donate there. Or you can listen between the days of February 26th and March 6th and call in at 604-822-8648 and there'll be people to take your donations then.
CITR, you're on the air.
Hey, it's Greg. Guys, I'm going to just go straight to the source and try and cram this 20 through the phone. So you should be getting it through your phone receiver.
No. Yeah, no.
That's jam. All right, Greg, so thank you. You'll be getting about half of it, so that's 10. And I'll keep the other 10. I broke my finger.
That wouldn't ever happen.
Somebody's dumb and it's Greg.
Is that a fax he's using? I think he was trying to use a fax.
Okay, anyway, so call in, donate, do what you can, and we thank you a lot for it. Say goodbye, Ryan.
Bye, Ryan.
That was the White Noise Comedy Show. Right now you're listening to the White Noise After Show, which is me, Simon Welton, and it's coming right at you from CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. Today I'm joined in the studio by a very special guest, Mr. Stuart Jones. Say hello, Stuart.
Hi, Simon.
Nice for you to join us. So before we start talking with Stuart, we're going to play a little clip from one of his shows so you guys can have a little listen and get really impressed by this fella.
Well, my name is Stuart, and when I was younger...
I used to shit the bed. But now that I'm older, right, more mature, I just sleep on a toilet. I've been trying to lose weight recently, but it's tough to lose weight if you're like me and you eat lots of cake, and I never exercise, right? So, that's simple math, right? But this is what I've been doing recently. This is way easier than trying to lose weight and exercising and shit, right? What I do is I just lie to people and I say that I used to weigh 400 pounds. Yeah, it's like a magic trick, you know? Like I'm instantly not lazy all of a sudden. People are proud of me. They're like, really? You used to weigh 400 pounds? Oh, don't worry, you look great. It's way easier than jogging. I can eat all the cake I want. I think it's weird that some women will lie about their age and say that they're younger than they actually are. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if I was going to lie about my age, I'd say it was older, you know? Because I look like shit for 28, but I'm a great-looking 40-year-old, right? Like, yeah, that's right. I'm 40 years old, and I used to weigh 400 pounds. I'm not a slob, I'm an inspiration.
All right, thank you. That was Stuart Jones. That was live at the Yuck Yucks, you said?
Yep, that was at Yuck Yucks.
Nice. Let's do a little bit more introduction on Stuart. So, Stuart, originally you're from Kelowna.
Mm-hmm.
When did you move to Vancouver exactly?
I moved here in October of 2013.
Nice. And sounds like you've been doing pretty well since then. Are you telling me about you just end on this new lineup, the Next Wave?
Yeah, I just got put on the Next Wave program at the Comedy Mix, so I'm getting some weekly spots there, and hopefully I'll get some split middles and that sort of thing.
Nice. So, what's been, can you tell us about any of, really good shows you've had since you've been here, like good venues? Or?
Well, I always love performing at any of the clubs, so the Comedy Mix or Yuck Yucks are both great venues, but there's also some smaller sort of independent, like, bar shows. There's some great ones. One I really like is called King's Head, and that's on a Tuesday at the King's Head Pub in Kitsilano. And another great one is called Jokes Please on Thursday at Little Mountain Gallery. Those are some of my favorites. And there's always lots of great shows going on at Little Mountain Gallery.
Nice. That's good to know. So, I mean, if any people interested in maybe trying out some comedy, like, where would you recommend they should go first to give it a shot?
Well, there's some open mics around town. There's one on Sunday nights at a place called 12 Kings on 12th and Kingsway. And there's another one on Wednesdays at the Lux Lounge, which is on Howe Street. And so, if you're really interested in starting some comedy, just start off at an open mic, you know, do your best, get to meet some people, and then eventually, you know, it just sort of builds from there.
Nice. All right. So I'd like to ask you a little bit more, get a bit more in depth about Stuart, So like what made, this is something I always am curious about with comedians is why did you decide to do it? Because a lot of people find the whole like getting on stage and doing stand up the most terrifying, intimidating thing in the world. So what made you want to do it?
Well, someone convinced me at work that I should give it a try at some point. And so I did that. But I don't know. When I was in school, I was sort of a class clown, and it's not too much different from that, because when you're in school, you're just like breaking the silence to try and say something funny, right? Mm. And you're doing the same thing in stand up, and public speaking is a huge fear, but when you're trying to make people laugh, it's a different sort of thing. If I was trying to like
politically motivate people. That would be, like, I would be terrified to try and do that. But if I'm trying to make them laugh, then, you know, that's not so bad.
It's true, but I feel like if you're politically motivating people, having a silent room wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Right.
Well, you know, comedy, that's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, so I've got some more questions for you. So, like, when you are writing, like, what's your methodology for it? Like, how do you go about writing?
Usually I just try to get inspired by something that I see or something that I hear or something along those lines. I mean, some people will sort of sit down and be like, okay, I want to write a joke about this. You know, where do I start? Where do I go? And I've tried to do that before, but I kind of like, you know, seeing something in real life happen and then go, hey, I think that's funny. And then I try and rephrase that in a way so that, you know, everyone who I talk to kind of sees it from my point of view. Mm. Something like that, yeah.
All right, fair enough. So it's a question I was like, you know, I think it's a good one to ask is if you could steal one comic set, whose set would you steal?
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, I got some of my favorite comedians. Actually, I would probably steal Brian Regan's set. You know Brian Regan?
I haven't heard much. I know you mentioned him, but yeah.
Yeah, he was just here a few months ago. He was at the Chan Center, and he is a very clean comic. But he's just very funny, and he focuses on those things that, you know, just things that happen every day and just makes them all funny. And, I mean, there are other comics whose style I really like. Like Doug Stanhope is my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I quite agree. Quite agree. Yeah.
But I could not steal his set. I wouldn't be able to pull it off. I got these big googly glasses, you know? There's no way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Having said that, he does sometimes dress pretty eccentrically as well. He's got, like, those weird bowling jacket shirt things he wears.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. And these glasses for me are considered dressed up. These are my going out glasses, so.
For those listeners who can't see his glasses, they're sort of, I don't know, black sort of hipster glasses, I guess is how I'd phrase it. But
yeah, I'm trying to keep with the times, you know? So.
Oh, we all try. All right, so what we're going to do now is play a little music, and then we're going to come back and chat a little bit more with Stuart.
Know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the pop underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Je l'ai fait juste pour toi. Je ne sais pas ce que c'est. Peut-être que tu le sais. J'y ai mis tout ce que j'avais à donner. Tous mes mystères, mes défauts, mes certitudes et mes doutes. Suis-moi chez moi dans mon univers. Vois-tu que mon cœur est ouvert comme le ciel est tout à l'envers. Ou bien on se cache pour la nuit. L'odomètre indique qu'il n'y a pas de fer en vue. Chérie, prends ceci. Fais pas semblant de dormir. Sinon ça suffit. Cesse de menacer, parti.
Every year, CITR wraps up the annual Fun Drive fundraiser by throwing a party with local bands and a silent auction. This year, our finale is happening on Friday, March 6th at Pat's Pub, and the theme is Band Lottery. We're recruiting talented local musicians, throwing their names into a hat, and drawing out new bands. After a week of collaboration, we're going to perform brand new material for the first and possibly last time at the Fun Drive finale. This year's bands will include members of What's Wrong, Tohei, Still Creek Murder, Death Prism, Marcus Naslin, Cascadia, Get Over It, Mosfet, Doppelganger, Nervous Operator, The Plodes, Underpass, So You Think You Can Sleep, Trash Bay, Vancouver, Eden Fine Day, Village, Candela Farm, Soft Serve, Invasives, Low Levels, The Hanson Brothers, Other Jesus, Terror Bird, Nervous Talk, Defectors, Mormon Crosses, Diane, Clover Honey, Supermoon, Cowards, and more. Tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door, and available online at Brown Paper Tickets. The 2015 Fun Drive finale will happen this Friday, March 6th, at Pat's Pub.
Hi there, I'm Simon Welton. We're back in the studio. This is the White Noise After Show. We're live on the CITR 101.9 coming out of Vancouver. I'm joined in the studio again today by Stuart Jones, the great local comic. And one of the things that's going on right now is, of course, Fun Drive. And what that means is the station is doing their annual fundraising, and it's really, really important, as always, every single year that we do this, because we are a non-profit company, but we do have expenses. We're moving into a new studio. We're looking to build a new website, which is going to be far more efficient, and, you know, it's really going to help support all the programming here, and also the listeners are going to get something out of it, definitely. So it's really important that you guys donate. We've got some amazing swag if you guys do donate. So just so you know, if you donate $30, you're going to get a Friends of CITR card, which gives you, like, huge discounts all over town, some really cool shops, like if you're into records and, you know, guitars and sort of instruments, all sorts of things we can give you discount on. So that's really great. At $60, you're also going to get a CITR toque, which is pretty awesome, or a Discord cut scarf, and they're, you know, pretty chic, if I say so myself. But what we're going to do on this show, if you donate to the White Noise show, if you enjoyed the White Noise comedy that you heard earlier, just the last half hour, if you want that to continue, and, you know, you want to pledge and show your support, if you donate $60, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put your name on the on a character in a sketch in an upcoming show. So you'll forever be enshrined in comedy history. So if you want to do that, that's $60 you got to donate, and you got to donate it to the White Noise show. Of course, if you do donate More than that, I will happily still give you that prize. So definitely do that. And yeah, there's lots of other stuff too. If you donate $101.9, you're also going to get the sub pop cassette, which is really awesome, and a digital download. $150, you're also going to get the toque and the scarf, which is really cool. If you do $250, you're going to get a framed Discorder cover of your choice. Plus all the other awesome swag, $500. You're also going to get a double swag bag and $1,000. Each donor will be listed on a cassette tape on the donor wall in the new station, in the new sub, and of course the swag bag as well. So there is a lot of great prizes out there. It's a really good cause. So, you know, if your pockets are feeling a little heavy, I really would love it if you could donate some money today. But anyway, we're going to get back now to talking to Stuart. We're going to ask a couple more questions. So first... Sure. First off...
I have a question for you.
Okay, okay.
So if I donate $60, you can put my name into a skit?
Oh, yeah.
Forever? Yeah?
Yeah.
Does it have to be my name, though, or can I just make up a name?
If you wanted to, you know, yeah, if you wanted to just give me any name, I will happily put any silly name in there.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to have to think of some bullies from high school or something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, we could even maybe try and articulate the sketch in their favor, definitely. Yeah.
We'll spend a few $100 and just name everyone in every skit. I got it, yeah. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay, look, yeah, we could definitely do that. If you got the money, we have got the time.
Okay.
All right, so I got a couple more questions. So have you ever told a joke you regretted?
Yes, I think so. I mean, sometimes, you know, this happens all the time in comedy. Some people got to push boundaries or whatever, or bring up taboo topics. It's not my usual thing. But yeah, I think I've told a few jokes like that. Because sometimes, I'm not going to say him.
Here, no, like, talk about the topic.
You got to come to the comedy show for that, you know? That's, I don't know. But yeah, there's definitely a few things along those lines.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fair enough.
We had an incident a few days ago at a show regarding that, because someone was doing some inappropriate stuff, and the staff
did not appreciate it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the thing is, if you're going to talk about a taboo subject, you still have to say something intelligent, and you still have to be in the right. You can't just say it for the shock value, because it doesn't have, there's no value in that, really. I don't know.
Yeah, it almost seems like some people, when they first start off, they kind of work backwards. They kind of go, I want to make a joke that is, you know, about this. Like, they start at the dark topic and then just work backwards to make a joke that ends with that, right? So you know, as a sexual assault or whatever. And it's always odd when you see someone who has just only that material, and you're like, like, is nothing else funny to you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have lots of jokes about pizza, you know?
Yeah, or even, like, do you not think about anything else? That's the real worry for me. It's like, is that guy's brain just constantly thinking about sexual assault?
Yeah.
Like,
but, you know,
a bit worrying.
Yeah, some people they just want to be like their idols, you know, like Doug Stanhope and those guys, right? And it's like, you got to build your way to that, you know?
But even with Stanhope, I would say there's very little times that he is saying something without having something to back it up.
Oh, yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's usually trying to say something profound underneath any sort of offensive, you know, shock value. I mean, there are things like he did that bit that is hilarious, but it's literally just about the WWE wrestling star Chyna and her short-lived pornographic career.
Right.
Which obviously has no real value, but it was hilarious.
Right.
So, you know, there is sort of that. Okay, I've got one more question for you, and this is actually one sent in, because as I said before, you're welcome to send in questions for myself or for whatever guest we have, and that's whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. So this question comes in from, I'm going to say her name because hopefully she's still listening, is Ashley Fallis, and she's asking, Stuart, when was the last time you cried, and what was it about?
The last time I cried? Oh, my goodness. I don't think this has, okay. Wait, does it have to be crying from sadness or crying from laughter?
Well, I think it's a bit of a cop-out if it's crying from comedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. I don't cry very often, you know? I'm like a stone wall.
Yeah, you don't seem to have that emotions. Sort of, like, Mediterranean blood sort of running through. Like,
right, yeah. I think if I had... that was the time I cry. Probably when, like... like my grandma died, you know.
Okay.
That sort of thing. Not a cool answer.
No, no. And thanks, Ashley, for bringing down us all here with that question.
Yeah, what is the saddest memory that you have?
For the comedy show.
Right.
All right, that was awesome. That was Stuart Jones. I'm Simon Welton. We're going to play maybe a couple more songs, but basically we're done here. And coming up next is The Synaptic Sandwich, which is a great show. So if you got the time, keep tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Another episode of White Noise. We're going to be airing at 8 p.m., brand new episode. We're going to have the conclusion of The Ultimate Leader, which you were listening to in that episode. I hear old Juan Chulka is going to be joined by the legendary Sugar Abe Lincoln. So I hope you guys join in for that. And we'll see you next week.
Un jour le cœur dégelé, seul amer et abandonné, c'est alors que je vais te manquer, là tu vas le regretter. Alors pleure encore si tu veux, allez cours à ta défaite, mais faut être capable d'aimer pour voir un cœur brisé. Prendre tous tes albums.
Tu prends les plis.
J'ai vraiment born to run. Car si la musique s'arrête et tu chantes toujours tes mots, chérie, si je t'entends encore, ce sera trop tôt. Mais faut être capable d'aimer pour avoir